Welcome back for another helping of Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, where we discuss the best of TV and film. I am Ross Bolin, here as always with Mr. Barrett Dudley. Barrett, ass-eating season continues. I'm sorry. No, but we're back. We're back.
We are back.
We're back for more potting, more television, more movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the main focus today being, of course, to stay updated on The White Lotus, as it is becoming somewhat of a little hot topic show.
White Clam.
The White Clam.
No, there's not really a good way to make the show's title, podcast title, referential to...
Unfortunately, no.
The White Lotus.
We're still
I wish it, you know, I wish it could.
We're still looking for our tie.
Yeah.
With most shows, we find one. With Succession, we've got Oystar Clam
Co. Oystar Clam Co. Yeah, yeah. There was the Clam Stone. Who could forget the Clam Stone?
Who could forget the Clam Stone Ranch? Who could forget? And then as when we were covering
Remember when that dude fell off a cliff because there was a bear?
Do you ever find yourself thinking about Yellowstone?
Yeah, yes, I do, because it's one of those shows that I know like so many people like and enjoy.
Yeah.
And I struggled with it halfway through season two, and we obviously kind of like dropped it as a show that we were talking about. But I mean, people are jazzed on that show. People like it a lot. It's very soapy. It's very it's full of drama, and I know that that a lot of people ride for it. And so it's like I do think about it, one, because it was so insane, and two, because it's like one of those ones that I'm still like, man, did I just like. Do I need to go back? Like, was I missing something? Was this just the wrong headspace?
Yep. I think that was it for us, in my opinion. We had a lot going on in the world, and it was just a weird time in general.
I don't even... Was that mid-pandemic? Was that the...
It was either mid or right...
Or right before?
Before, but it was just like... I don't know. We were coming out of, like, our former company and shit, and it was like... I don't know. I just feel like that whole time period was kind of skewed.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
You were speaking to the fact that, like, Yellowstone is one that a lot of people enjoy, and it brings me to kind of an interesting topic. You know how when you're searching for what to watch at night, or you're deciding? And there's several ways to go about this. First, there's people who have pre-planned already. We know exactly what we're going to watch tonight. Mm-hmm. When we get in bed or when we lay down on the couch or whatever it is,
yeah, yeah.
We know what it is we're putting on and what we're watching because we scheduled this out already. But even then, sometimes you get down and you're like, you know what, let's not watch Downton Abbey tonight. I'm fed up with the British. Let's watch something else. Let's find something.
Uh-huh.
And there's always like a slew of options you keep right there in your back pocket. Those ones that like maybe you started like Yellowstone for us and then you walked away from, but you know they're good and that there's something there because so many people love it and always beg us to watch it.
Sure.
Another one for me is like Deadwood. Like I never watched the final episode.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you got.
I always wanted to save
you
it
do that.
For a rainy day, and it turns out I guess none of those days were rainy enough.
Yeah,
somehow.
It rained a lot this year.
I don't know what I was doing. Should have gone to Deadstone at some or goddamn dude.
Deadstone.
I can't even do it without
Dead Clam
making up new names for the fucking shows anymore. I should have gone back to Deadwood, but I never did. Even after the movie came out, which is stupid, I need to go enjoy both of those things. But there's always those shows that you know one day you're going back to or you're going to start, Ted Lasso being one for me.
Sure.
That every time I hit that search phase.
Yeah, it's there.
It's there in the back of my mind. And I'm like, is this the night that I start Ted Lasso or whatever?
Yeah.
And speaking of shows like that, another one that fell into that bucket for me. By accident, has been Dave season two.
Oh, right.
Which my note for today is, I'm hearing you loud and clear. People who listened last week and heard us say that, that I said that I basically had walked away because it was too serious and too much, speaking of timing, it was like just too much for me at the moment. Those first few episodes were a lot, man. I needed some time to process. And I walked away and all these people on Twitter were like, I don't know if it was last week or the week before that were like, you have to go back. Just had the funniest episode probably of the series, but definitely the season.
So, okay. So I'm now a few episodes behind as well on Dave. As I've noted on the show before, this is not one that Laura will watch with me, basically.
So you have to have alone time for it.
So I have to get alone time, and I have not had any recently, but I think I'm going to get some Wednesday, and my plan is to catch up on Dave.
And to be clear, it's not just that he has to find alone time. It's also that, and for me too, this is how it works. Like, I mean, if you're in a relationship and you got a whole other life and a whole other job and stuff and all this other shit going on, like, it's not just that we have to find alone time. We have to find alone time where we're like, and I want to watch television alone. Right? Like, that's, it's not as easy as it sounds. I'm just giving us credit here.
Yeah, yeah.
You're welcome.
But it's been interesting because I've definitely, I think it was episode 5 or 6 was the last one that I watched. It's got a, I guess you could call it a cameo. She drops in for the episode, and I don't expect to see her again. It's Doja Cat.
Okay.
It's a very, it's a good episode. It's very funny. It's it does the classic Dave thing where you're laughing and you're also cringing for most of it. and that one got a lot of people, you know, chatting, whether it was on Twitter or on the Discord. And then since then, I think there have been 2 or 3 more. And it's been, I feel like the response has been really, really mixed. And I almost get the feeling that people are trying to convince themselves that these episodes are funny and good.
They're looking for one. Yeah,
they're looking
they're big
for
fans.
One because they're, because we're all fans of Lil Dicky and Dave and what the show is doing.
But those people are
as
the
a
big
whole,
fans.
As a whole?
Yeah.
But like, then I'll also see some stuff on Twitter and just in like other places that are like, somebody tell me why you like Dave. This show is not doing it for me.
Right.
And but, so I'm saying the reactions to Dave season 2, both with the last few episodes and just as a whole, have been mixed, very, very mixed.
Okay, I got you. I also read a lot of the DMs and emails and such from females are watching Dave of their own accord.
Yes.
And the general arguments were either like, I identify more with dude humor and that kind of humor, and like I grew up with brothers or whatever. People had different stories and reasons for why. But that's just like my kind of dirty humor more than others, and that's the kind of stuff I love, and Dave fits in that category. Or like, I really liked Lil Dicky as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And this show helps me sort of understand the male psyche more, was what a couple of the female takes were.
Okay.
Or that was their reasoning, right? That they kind of like, they get some, because it does, dude, it gives you some, in the same reason I watched Girls, right? It gave me even more insight into like the behind the scenes. There were things about women and females and their friendships that I knew, but not the detail that I got out of Girls. Same way with Dave. Like, he's giving you some pretty serious insight into like the male a twisted version of it, but like the male psyche and sort of how it functions, or at least the straight white male psyche. Let me narrow it down for everyone else who's listening and it's like, go fuck yourself. This is nothing like me in any aspect at all. That guy is a psychopath. But yeah, so there were a lot of women who were saying they watch because that aspect of it too is interesting to them, not just that it's funny or whatever. But I will say that was early in the season when we asked for that feedback. And I'm curious how many make it through to the end of this one, the end of this season, because
I feel like those ladies that reached out, and a lot of them, I too, just felt like they had a connection to the show because it does, you know, tackle some mental health things as well. And just like we had a couple people give really good insight on the Discord because the cord is strong, of course.
The cord is strong.
The reaction that I got from them, or the insight that I got from them, leads me to believe that they will watch this show essentially, no matter what, because at the end of the day, we like what Dave the auteur is doing. We like what he is like laying down.
What he's about.
Even if it's not hitting those same notes that season one did, and that's that,
or notes that we can enjoy. Just because they're not that enjoyable doesn't mean they're not good, right?
And you kind of mentioned this after the first couple of episodes, I think, just about like what type of headspace Dave was in. And and somebody else, I think also on the, I can't remember if it was Discord or Twitter, but was like, I think that season one was very funny, but Dave might not necessarily want the show to be that funny. And that kind of leads into what we also talked about, which is that it's like I can very, very much tell that Dave is inspired by the show Atlanta.
Yes.
To a very large degree. That's the type of show that he wants to be. Like,
dude,
and
so
I,
much
I don't know
so
if you've
that Barrett
Atlanta
never
episodes
seen an episode
of Atlanta.
And I still recognize the
but
vibes.
They're weird. They are dark as hell. Like, they
well, right,
are,
but like
and there
it,
are
you know that if you know the marketing though. If you've just seen a couple of the commercials from Atlanta and you know generally what the show is about.
And there are laughs, but
sure,
it's some heavier shit for sure. And so I definitely think that he's pushing to that. He's pushing in that direction.
And I mean, and even
for this season,
I brought up Girls. Like, Girls was funny, but it also tackled a lot of really unenjoyable, heavy,
fucked up
shit about family and friends, and life. And that's another one that fits into that category where it's like, and look, I'm gonna take this to a strange place that might be unexpected, but there's also an element of art that you just kind of have to let the artist do their thing sometimes. And if the vibes aren't right or they don't hit for you right then or whatever, it is what it is, but you have to let it go. Because like with Kanye as an example, Kanye West is always a dude who, he does shit and I'm like, dude, what? And then a few years pass and I'm like, I'll listen to it again. Yeezus was the first great example. He put out that album and I was like, I don't know what the fuck this is. It's
very
loud and it's obnoxious and sounds ridiculous to me and I don't like the noises and make it stop. And then I went and saw the live show with you in Houston, I think. And it blew our minds. We were just like, okay, that was fucking art. I don't know what that was. It's like after I watched Bo Burnham, I was like, that wasn't a comedy show. That just changed my life. Same with this. I was like, that was not a concert. That was just changed my life. And Jesus was there at both of them. He's everywhere.
Both Yeezus and Jesus?
Yeah. And well, I mean, remember he came out on stage. And then at the end of Bo's show, Bo was Jesus.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
What was I talking about?
Gotta let the artist do the art.
So sometimes Kanye will do shit and I'm like, this is fucking trash. And then and time passes and I'm like, damn, this is good. You just have to trust these people.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Little Dicky or Dave is at Kanye level of creative genius or anything like that, because I don't think he necessarily is. But he has succeeded very highly in the realm of music and comedy and music, and then now in television. He's a super talented dude, and I think he has a lot to say.
He does.
And it's not going to be what we want him to say all the time. He's been talking about back knee and his fucked up dick for two seasons, Barrett, like, and multiple albums. This isn't, it's not going away.
Yeah.
This is who he is.
It's,
so.
It's funny that you mentioned Bo Burnham and Kanye, because now you think about it, and I'm like, Lil Dicky is kind of a mix of those. He's kind of in between
really
Bo Burnham
point.
And Kanye.
That's a really good point. Yeah, he's a great, I mean, he's a good rapper and he makes great music, but he's also like this fucked up, really funny, quirky, weird white dude.
Every time he, like, there in the show, we get a little snippet of a song, which are usually recorded just for the show. Like, you can't go find Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on Spotify. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah. But like, you know how many of us fucking looked for it?
When he drops bars like in those little songs that are just made for the show, it's always awesome, but it's also discouraging because you're like, God damn, this dude can rap. And
then
it's
you
like,
can't even go listen to that song.
And I want an album at the end of the day. It's which to the Kanye thing, it's like, I want both of these people to do their art. But at the end of the day, their art is best when it revolves around the music that they're creating.
Yes, and
whatever else spins off from that, whether it's a giant puffy trash bag Gap jacket, or if it's like, you know, some super spiky Balenciaga coat, like it's that stuff.
Gimp suit.
Or a gimp suit. Spins out from the core, I feel like, which is Kanye making music. And I feel like, you know, maybe Lil Dicky doesn't have to make music for his art to totally work in the same way that I feel like Kanye does. But it's a huge part of what he does.
Right.
And I hope to get more music from him soon.
I think he's probably the same in that way, because I think, look, the music is constantly inserted into the show, and even if it's not music that's fully alive outside of the show, the musical element of the show and the storyline revolving around his musical career and all that is just like, yeah, I think we will get more music, but it's hard for these guys, man. You know, it's just so hard to be that talented and good at a few things well enough to where the whole world wants to watch you do those few things. Like, it's hard to pick which one, you know? That's how you end up wearing a spiky Balenciaga gimp suit living in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Pantyhose on your head.
With pantyhose on your head. Yeah, that's how that happens. Anyway, I am looking forward to going back to Dave's season two.
Yeah, I hope to have like some more to say about these episodes that I've missed next week. So.
Yeah, well, I'll try to catch up as much as I can in the meantime as well. Because I do miss it, and I am in a better place now where I feel like I can handle some Dave.
Well, you've caught up on something, though, and that's Thor 2, The Dark World.
I finished Thor 2, The Dark World, and got some more of the old Thor and Loki and the whole, all his parents and shit, and fucking, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Thor, The Dark World yet, they're coming now. Skip forward if you haven't seen it. His mom dies. Thor's mom gets got.
Which is actually kind of an important thing. See, that's the thing. Everybody, like I had on Guardians of the Galaxy. It was on one of the cable networks the other day, and I just had it on YouTube TV. And it's
I was
like,
about to say, when the fuck were you watching a cable network? Okay, YouTube TV.
Yeah, that's how I stream all the channels.
And again,
that's my cable.
They're literally suggesting me that now instead of my Google Fiber, which is so hilarious to me. Go ahead, Barrett.
Well, and Google owns YouTube, so that does track.
Also that, yeah. Logically, yeah.
Anyway, they're talking about all sorts of shit there's Krees in Guardians of the Galaxy. That's like a whole thing from Captain Marvel, which didn't come out for like another 5 years. Mm. And of course, there's all the Thanos shit going on in the background in Guardians of the Galaxy, which when you're first seeing that movie, I had zero clue that like Thanos was like the Infinity Stone purple chin dude that was going to be the ultimate bad guy. You know
what
I mean?
The big bad.
Like, so in every single one of these movies, even the shit ones like Thor 2, The Dark World, there's important stuff happening. And
fuck
like,
you,
and,
man. It was great.
And Thor's mom dying comes back a whole bunch, especially in the Loki movie.
Okay, so that's
right,
kind of
the Loki series.
That's kind of the one thing I figured and I've gathered going into this one is that, it's not the best. And but that there are important story-building elements to this one. And I'll say this. I'm really getting a feel, probably not all the way on purpose, because I'm seeing so much of the marketing for Loki, and I obviously am aware of who Thanos is and what he does with the Infinity Stones at this point, having lived in this life on the internet for many years now.
Yes, yes.
But I'm getting a feel for that the whole thing now, right, that they've built out. Excuse me. One of the coolest elements is even several movies in, if you're just a local jackass like me, you don't really, really have a feel for what's going on with the big bad Thanos side of it.
Yeah.
And the stones and the. And only at the very end of this one, even, do you meet the collector and start. And things start to click into place where shit's going to get bad, obviously.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, they've gotten many movies deep, and the formation of the Avengers and all the aliens have been presented, and there's gods and Thors and crazy shit.
Who's
all over
what's it's, yeah.
Yeah, alien wars are taking, cities are being wiped from the, Natalie Portman is there suddenly.
Natalie Portman is in this movie, yeah.
Yeah, and she's fucking pissed all the time and becomes possessed by the ether and shit, and it's just wild as hell.
I hate to see that.
You do, and yeah, this one wasn't my fave, but I got through it finally. It took like six sittings.
Well,
like,
here's the interesting thing. They planted Natalie Portman in this movie. Thor 2: The Dark World kind of tanked a little bit. It was not, I mean, it did well at the box office naturally, but it was not well received critically.
Pretty panned.
And they kind of went back to the drawing board with the whole Thor thing.
Okay.
Like, does he need to be, how would you say the tone is in Thor 2: The Dark World? Is it light? Is Thor like this big kind of like cuddly funny guy yet?
No.
No.
You got more element of that in the first one. In the second one, they really get away from that, and he's more like frustrated and disgruntled.
Yes. Yeah. That's kind of what I recall. And then going forward, they get Taika Waititi to do Thor Ragnarok, and the whole thing is like, this dude is kind of a drunken Australian who is also the most powerful Avenger, basically, because he's a Norse god that can do anything he wants, basically.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And they kind of lean into that with Ragnarok. And so it all becomes a little more humorous, a little tongue-in-cheek, funnier. And now that they have that successful formula going, and this is one of the franchises that they are going to continue on with into the phase 5 of Marvel or whatever, they just like reached back out to Natalie Portman and were like, hey, you want to be Thor this time around?
Hey, we fixed it.
We fixed it.
You want to be Thor, though.
Yeah. And so now she's going to pick up the hammer in this new Taika Waititi's back to direct. It's called Thor Love and Thunder. And we're going to get female Thor, basically. And it's Natalie Portman.
Yeah. The one thing they keep giving the passing the torch on these guys. And I'm like, well, then I know the OG is going to die.
I don't know how it's going to work out. Because I think that they can kind of coexist in a way. I think it's about like who's picking up the hammer, kind of like with Captain America. It's like who's got the shield.
But did he die?
Yes. I don't know. Not really.
Okay. See, then no. Sort of, but no. But maybe.
You know, he died. It's like Pharrell. Pharrell says, nothing ever really does.
He does say that. N-E-R-D, baby. What was that strip club song they had? God, that was a good song.
Yeah,
that was a
good
song.
God, I should know that. Why do I not know that?
I'm an outlaw.
I know there's like a hillbilly white rapper in that who rhymes cockpit.
Yes.
But why can't I think of that song?
I don't know. I'm trying to find it. I just Googled N-E-R-D strip club song. It's not working.
Clips is in that one too, right? Or is that a, is that
I don't
another
know
one?
If they are.
It was like their first big hit.
N-E-R-D, I'm an outlaw. This is also not work, dude. It's because their freaking name is an acronym, and they got to put periods and stuff between each letter. And it's feed me information about nerd ropes, Barrett.
That's insane. What?
I can't get it. N-E-R-D, I'm an outlaw. Just help me out here. Lyrics.
Lap dance.
Fuck.
It's called Lap Dance.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's not called Strip Club. It's called Lap Dance.
Thank you. Thank you, Spotify.
Yeah. Huge. Anyway.
Yeah, so you got Thor 2 under the belt.
Got it done.
That was one of the tougher ones to get through.
Everybody told me you got to get through this because Ragnarok's incredible.
What
you're going to want all
the list.
The info. I don't even know. It was grueling, honestly. This was a couple weeks worth of work to get through Thor, The Dark World. It's like three or four different nights that I put it on, got 20 minutes done, and just either went like... it didn't hold my attention. I'll just put it that way.
All right.
And so here I am, stronger and better for it on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And I'll venture on to the next Marvel movie. I'm looking forward to getting all the way caught up. I think the snowball will start to form again now that I got through Thor, The Dark World.
Yeah, I think you have some good ones coming up.
I'm stoked.
And maybe some ones that you've already seen, which will also kind of bump up.
Accelerate the process.
Bump you up a little bit.
Yeah, because you can kind of watch those in passing, you know?
Yeah.
For instance, the Iron Mans. I've seen all these goddamn Iron Mans, man.
You saw Doctor Strange already.
I've seen Doctor Strange twice, actually, now. So that one will be easy as well. Yeah, good stuff. Marvel.
Yeah. Speaking of, you mentioned scheduled watches.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to take a moment to say that we are scheduled to watch on Wednesday evening an episode of The Sopranos called Pine Barrens.
Oh, Barrett.
And
thank you for bringing this up.
I've literally been, you talk about what I've been just like been thinking about. I've been thinking about, what did I say I was thinking about? I was thinking about Yellowstone, the Clamstone.
Oh, I've been thinking about Clamstone.
But I have also been thinking about Pine Barrens. Literally, I'll just be like in the kitchen and be like, oh, I'm watching Pine Barrens on Wednesday.
It kind of feels like a sporting event coming up, right?
It does.
Big game Wednesday night, except it's big episode.
So, yeah, I if you've watched The Sopranos, that probably means something to you. And if you've not watched The Sopranos, this is the first one that, this is just a title that I know. This is my first watch through on The Sopranos. But Pine Barrens is a name that I know, and I don't know what is going to happen. But you know, I'm nervous about it, to be quite honest. But this is the moment for especially people that have avoided the Sopranos rewatch, just jump on with Pine Barrens because we're headed to. I keep seeing the trailers now for Many Saints of Newark. It's coming down the pipeline very soon. And it's Sopranos mania out there, and this is a giant one, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's an iconic episode. For those of you who are unaware, Barrett and I are watching The Sopranos episode by episode, creating a companion podcast for each episode of HBO's classic crime drama, ad-free, friendly to both first-time watchers and repeat viewers on patreon.com/oystersclamscockles, patreon.com/oysters. Clams, cockles. And we are 10 episodes through season 3. Season 3, episode 11, is what Barrett and I get to watch tomorrow night. And we will record the companion podcast for that and release it on Thursday of this week on patreon.com/oystersclamscockles. And the beauty of Patreon is this. This entire show at this point is run off of what money we are able to bring in through Patreon. The recording, everything Barrett and I do, and our pay is all from Patreon for the most part. We have some advertisers, some supporters, and when you hear our sponsors, please support them. Go to those URLs and use those codes. But the main way we do this show is from Patreon, and we really appreciate the several hundred of you who have enjoyed the Sopranos with us thus far. If you haven't jumped in, like Barrett said, this is the time. Get in there. We're only a few seasons deep. You could get caught up very, very quickly. As you know, shows are easy to binge. And if you've been looking for one, if you've been kind of going back to that barrel of like shows that where you're trying to find something to watch, like we were talking about earlier, now's the time. Take it on. It's The Sopranos. It is incredible. Barrett and I have had a blast watching it together and with our significant others. And we've got what is not just one of the more iconic episodes of this show, but it's like one of the things that got me obsessed with TV, this episode of The Sopranos that's coming up this week. It's so good. It's just so different. It's just a ridiculous, ridiculous episode of television that obviously I will not go into any detail about, but it's called Pine Barrens.
I think one of the things that has surprised me so much about The Sopranos is how they play with style. And I mean, we are knee deep into the third season, and like we still talk about how they don't really like buckle down into one look or one camera angle or one style of filmmaking, and they try different things and they do weird angles and they do
weird episodes.
They'll do weird bottle episodes, and one you know, we just got through one with that has like the quirkiest little like police comedy, like
out of nowhere, just a
who'd you deliver this pizza to? See,
yeah, it's one.
Oh, well, that's the mozzarella. See, there's only one guy who orders that one, and I ain't telling you who it is. And it's like
just
this,
out of nowhere,
like this
one
out
scene.
Of nowhere scene. That episode was written by Michael Imperioli, who plays Chrissy. It's like there's so many little strange things like that. They do black comedy, they do dark drama, they do mysteries. It's honestly kind of all over the place,
and it's mixed together
and somehow still grounded in you know, in some kind of core themes.
It's X-Files like in that way sometimes, where from episode to episode you sort of feel like you don't know what you're going to get, but then at the same time the seasons feel cohesive and wrap in a way where you don't feel like you just, you know, got banged around in a car crash essentially.
But it definitely, all that to say, it so much gave license to like all of these other creators to kind of go out there and try things, try these kind of things that hadn't been put on the small screen before. So that's, you know, that's definitely one of the things that we have a lot of fun talking about, is how it inspired the things that came after it, and how weird it is kind of in and of itself that they were doing all this madness, all this weird science.
yes.
In 2001.
Yeah, and that's what keeps coming up for Barrett and I as we get through this, and everybody in the Clam Fam and in the Discord as well. It's 20 years ago, man. These episodes we're watching came out 20 years ago. And in 2001, the year 2000, in 1999, back in season one when we first started doing our rewatch. Those are the first episodes, obviously. Not a rewatch for you, your first time through, Barrett.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's just they built sort of, they elevated the entire game in a way that, I'll take it back to Kanye again because that's where I'm at today. Like, certain albums of his have changed hip hop entirely. 808s and Heartbreak birthed several of the now most famous artists in the world, including Drake.
Yep.
There are things he has done that have changed music. That's what The Sopranos did. It's one of the shows, not the only show, but one of the shows that created the entire category that now exists of elevated storytelling on television, right? So it's crazy to watch each episode in 2021, like with one of your best friends, with your girlfriend, with your family, whoever, and sort of share in that experience of how this whole world was born. And if you're here on OCC with us, you already like TV and film a lot. So I promise you The Sopranos is worth the trip. take it with Barrett and I on patreon.com/oystersclamscockles. Being real time with us does not matter at all. So we're 3 seasons and 10 episodes deep. That doesn't matter. Go sign up, get started today, enjoy at your leisure, and holler at Barrett and I whenever you feel. We got people hollering at us sometimes on Twitter that are like on 1.5, and I'm like responding to a question about that. It doesn't matter. Holler at us. Welcome. We're happy to talk about The Sopranos with you anytime, especially on the Discord, which is strong, quite strong. Patreon.com/oystersclamscockles. Barrett, another episode of The White Lotus come and gone.
It has.
How did you feel when it was all said and done?
I felt good.
And how many more do we have?
Just one, man. This was the penultimate.
So we've got...
We had to talk about the penultimate. And
the penultimate White Lotus.
The penultimate White Lotus.
Yeah.
Just
one more.
I gotta say, I'm still really enjoying this show, and it's doing a lot for me because I walk away from the show and I'm trying to decipher like what it's all about. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I really, really do think that Mike White has left a lot open for interpretation here, and you read kind of what you want into it. But at the core, and I think this episode really kind of nailed it down, it's that like escapism isn't always what it's cracked up to be. And he's using like the vehicle of vacation, but I don't think that the show is necessarily exclusively about vacations. You know, it is a little bit, but I think it's just generally about how you don't get to like run away from yourself ever.
You don't get to run away from your problems.
No matter what you do.
Right. You're right.
And that, and he says as a little bit of this in like the inside of the episode afterwards, if you tuned in for that, about how like, you know, some of these things are kind of self-made problems and others are societal issues. And like the dealing with either one of those things is just incredibly messy.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like what you care about is like self-preservation and serving yourself. And it's kind of like a dark way to like look at all of these humans and just drill down into like what makes them tick. And none of them seem to be stopping or changing, you know, anything. Maybe Rachel is our best example of somebody that is like realizing something is wrong
and wanting to change,
and wanting to do something about
right,
it.
Right. Right.
But she's also the only one that has kind of been like presented with what her future could look like if she stays in this lane, which is
sure.
Shane's mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just been it's been really interesting to think about that and to like I think that every watcher probably resonates with at least one character at this point through 5 episodes, and in doing that you probably are asking yourself some questions as well, because none of these characters are exactly aspirational figures. Do you know what I mean?
Like, oh, for
like,
sure.
Like, there's not a lot to like about any of them at the moment. And now at the end of this, episode, you know, we see Steve Zahn, Mark, kind of like, you know, do something good, to act out of his own self-interest, and it like brings two people together that were not necessarily led to believe or like the best and greatest people.
Right. And they were really struggling. Yeah.
But it's what matters to them. It's family. It's the bond. It's the self-preservation of their unit
and their thing.
And their thing that matters, and that's human nature. And so it's I don't know. I think it's saying a lot, but it's also leaving a lot open for interpretation and kind of letting us just kind of like blow in the wind and kind of like reckoning with our own problems. And our own like desire to escape, and our own privilege, and our own like inability to change societal things that we see that are wrong, but are not going to act against our own self-interest to change. Like, it's got a lot going on, and it's also really funny. So,
did you see? Okay, the dude Todd, I think is his name, that Stifler's mom is banging. The BLM guy.
Yes, yes.
BLM guy is Uncle Rico.
It's Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite.
From Napoleon Dynamite. That absolutely melted my entire face off when I heard that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right, man. The show is really at this point with only one episode left. it's gotten pretty clear what it is and what it's doing. And it and you really hit the nail on the head with the bigger picture stuff is what it's really trying to get at. And it's that sort of like life will force you to reckon with your issues, like almost, if even if you don't want to.
Yeah.
And people can get really far without having to face their shit down, but at some point it will catch up with you. And, you know, some people get as far as the point to have a funeral for their mother on a boat where they're going to put their ashes in the ocean. Like, that's the result of going a very, 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 very long time without actually doing any self-analysis or connecting with reality.
Yeah.
You know, same with Shane's mom. Shane, right?
Shane, yeah.
Like, this is just some old rich white lady who doesn't know shit from chat. She's living a version of life that is not very admirable to most, I would say. Seems to be for her, but that's because she's been disconnected from fucking reality for so long. She doesn't have a damn clue anymore. But no matter how far you run or how hard you run, like the shit just catches up with you and you have to deal with your stuff or it will destroy sort of everything around you. It's like, like all these people desperately need therapy, yeah. Right? Like they need couples counseling, Steve Zahn and his wife. This other woman needs some type of therapy to help mourn with her mother. This other woman needs therapy for like, what's going on with the business deal? What's going to happen there? That's one of the things where I'm still like, man, I'm really leaning towards maybe that chick snaps and kills her.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, we kind of called this out, like that Belinda or Tanya.
Tanya
is going to get distracted, and she's been making a bunch of like false promises that she's going to
start a business
dump
for
in
this
the ocean.
Woman.
To pursue this guy, you know, who just wants to fuck.
God, that was a great line. Though. You can also throw a football over a mountain.
You can throw a football over a mountain,
which is important.
But yeah, I don't think that. I don't think Belinda's business is going to get off the ground with old Tanya. And, you know, for Belinda, you know, silver lining here, look at the bright side, not sure that's the woman you want spearheading your business in the first place.
In all honesty, I'm rooting for her to not have to go into business with this woman at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she doesn't want any of that, dude. She doesn't need that in her life at all. Woman is just got too much on her plate. She's dealing with too much. But my God, so what, okay. So what's going to happen with the manager of the hotel who knows,
yeah,
clearly
so that,
knows that he's going to get fired?
I think that, yeah. One of my questions right now after episode 5 is Shane now has Armand under his thumb. He got the pineapple suite. He got that goddamn pineapple suite.
Finally got it.
The whole thing is comped.
Yep.
What more can you kind of like milk this guy for at this point, right? Like, is he?
What's the next move?
Is Shane
aiming
for more? Is he really gonna, you know, step on this dude's throat, or is he gonna take the W here
and back off?
And back off. You imagine that he will not do that.
I mean, it doesn't seem like that's what he would do.
That
based
does not
on
seem like his MO.
Watched so far, yeah.
But yeah, yeah.
But he's so in a tough spot. Armand's also got an employee that now has him under his thumb because he ate his ass.
Yeah.
and that dude's not even going to come to work when he doesn't want to anymore.
No, uh-uh.
And it's just...
You owe me.
Yeah, it's a mess up at the White Lotus. Who knows which one of these people is going to be in the box at the end. But I am also interested to see not just who dies... But how they close out all these different storylines in a way that's impressive, right? It's one of the things we want from shows like this is to be sort of impressed by the cleverness after it's all said and done, right? Is to be kind of left with something where you're like, that was cool, the way they made seemingly a bunch of random stories
mm-hmm.
matter in the same way or whatever, or say the same thing or connect together or whatever.
Sure, sure.
And this show has built a ton of momentum for that kind of show. For that kind of story.
Yeah, I'm not sure that there's going to be much more, a whole lot more interconnectedness than there has been already. Because
right, I agree.
Because I think what we're seeing is more like, there are parallel ties between a number of these people that we're seeing, and they're also, You could even say that some are like younger or like older versions of some of the younger ones.
Sure.
Or that this is an outcome that you're headed towards if you stay on certain paths. And then also just feel like there's a general, I also feel like there's this sense of young idealism.
Right.
Both through like Paula's social justice quest. But even with like Quinn, who just wants to like get on the boat and ride out with the dudes and see the waves.
Yeah.
You know? And like, because he's searching. He's searching for something.
He just wants to be a part of something.
Just wants to be a part of something.
Yeah.
And then
his family's
see,
not doing a great job of making him a part of that.
Yeah. And then, on the other end of the spectrum, you have the newlyweds who are somewhere in the middle. One is still like trying to hold on to her idealism and her search of purpose. One has already given way to like, this is my life and I'm holding on to it for dear life because why would I do otherwise?
Right.
And then you've got the older people who are all kind of like dealing with the fallout of the decisions that they made when they were younger.
Yeah.
Whether it was an affair or,
bad relationship with a mom.
Bad relationship with a mom or committing to being like a powerful CEO,
workaholic
businesswoman,
CEO.
Workaholic, like... That's what got her in this position in the first place, able to afford the vacation, as she says. That's also like, probably why she has the family problems that she does.
It's so always the double-edged sword for a lot
so
of
it's
people,
all,
right?
That's how I think all the stories are connected. But I do, to your point with what you're saying, it's like, how do they make each of them matter at the end of the day here? Will be, not that they don't matter now, but how do they kind of like...
Wrap it up
how
in,
they
with
wrap
a pretty bow.
Each of them up. For us in this last hour here, and that's always the thing.
Well, and it's just because they gave themselves that backdrop, though. Like that, remember that first shot, that first scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Being the backdrop, sort of, it puts the show in an interesting place where it's like, so we've got that. We all know that's coming.
Yeah,
but like, what else you got?
That's the speaking of double-edged swords, they gave us that, which was a great hook to tie us in. But exactly what you're saying. That,
now you don't get to drop it as a bomb at the end.
Well, and you have to deal with it. Now,
yeah,
now you do have to deal with the expectations from the audience
right.
of the box. Because everybody on the Discord, we're talking about it, like, who's in the box? Who's in the box? Well, is it going to be a letdown for viewers if I'm right and it's not one
and
of our characters?
And it's not important at all?
And it's not important at all?
It's like a random guest who falls down the stairs.
Exactly. Are people going to be upset about that?
Where is that chick that got pregnant and had a baby in the first episode? I thought the show was going to be about her.
And so it's I've really backed off judging shows based on their finales
mm-hmm.
because it's like if I enjoyed the first five episodes to this degree, then like—
Is it make or break?
Is it make or break? No, not really.
You know what I play it like,
but,
Barrett?
But it does. But putting that box on the plane up front and having that little hook scene and then flashing back does set us up with an expectation that you're now kind of expected to fulfill.
Yes. And for me, it's the same as the way I used to treat sports when I was younger for my sports teams that I'm a huge fan of. If they didn't win the championship, like we got to the playoffs and we lost— I was so pissed, so bummed. The season's a fucking wash. We just wasted another year of this guy's career, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's fucking stupid. Now as an adult, 34-year-old man, I'm like, well, hold up. Just logically, if that's the way it works, you're telling me only one team's fan base gets to enjoy themselves every year? The rest of us are just supposed to be miserable? Okay, so maybe the only thing that matters is not just the trophy. Maybe the only thing that matters is not just the finale of the season. Like, you can have a great ride, and the finale doesn't have to be, it doesn't always have to be this huge, like, mind-fucking-melting experience
right.
that changes your life and makes you go tell everybody you know about this show, because we all know that's what you want to do. What we all want is for another Game of Thrones to just spring forth every other day or whatever, but it's not going to happen. So, that all being said, this show is kind of in a position where, for me, it could go either way. I think they're in a great spot to do some really cool, sort of more impactful ending.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more likely that they have said a lot.
Yeah.
I think they will put good messaging on the end of what they're saying for each of these characters and their storylines and then kind of let us drift off into the sunset or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. I think this was a great summer, watch, especially here where we like, we're back to not being able to do as much as we were 6 weeks ago. So
yeah,
it kind of has grabbed our collective conscious again here. And
very fun cast.
A very fun cast, very good cast. And yeah, like if, you know, it gave us a lot to talk about. And if we're not thinking about it again in a year from now, that's fine.
It is. There have been several shows. What was that weird show with the young Pope, Jude Law?
Yeah.
He was on an island? Remember that show? I'm not talking about...
Third Day.
Third
You're
Day.
You're not talking about Young Pope. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about Third Day. That was a great show. I've all known that show.
Let me...
It didn't end the best way, Barrett. I'm not still thinking about it, but it was great.
So...
I can be okay.
I talked about the music in White Lotus.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
It is by... let me make sure I have this guy's name. Cristobal Tapia de Vere.
Okay.
And he did the music for the Third Day as well. He did the
score
for the Third Day.
No shit, that's familiar.
Well.
I wonder if that's why it clicked into my brain.
Yeah, maybe so. So,
but I really love the show. It has been a lot of fun to watch, and if you're not watching it on HBO, you should. And then you can listen to the last few weeks of our commentary on it as well before the big finale, which we will discuss next week, Barrett and I. And I'm looking. This is one of the few ones of it's. We've had finales come and go where I'm like, yeah, finale's coming up, sure, whatever. But. This is one of those periods where I'm excited for my viewing experiences that are coming up. One, the Pine Barrens episode that I get to watch tomorrow night. And then two, White Lotus finale. And then three, I got past Thor 2. And I'm on to bigger and better things. So excited, Barrett.
Yes.
Very
yes.
excited. Thank you all for joining us this week. We'll be back again next week with another episode of OCC. But until then, remember... You can find us on patreon.com/oystersclamscockles, where you can enjoy HBO's classic crime drama, The Sopranos, with us episode by episode. Companion podcast for each episode of The Sopranos. We are 10 episodes into season 3. Pine Barrens this Thursday. Hope you enjoyed your helping of shellfish and mollusks and such. Until next time.
The white clam.
Goodbye.